Big crowd. Haven't seen you guys in a while. Must be free lunch, huh? All right. Well, thanks for coming. I know this is kind of the second day of the league year here, and obviously we got some new faces as Jacksonville Jaguars. You know, the big signing, as you guys all know, is Malik Jackson, and he's here today with his family, and you guys will get opportunity to meet him. And really was one of the main guys we targeted going into this, and just felt like with his versatility, and as you guys know, our struggles on third down last year, he's going to bring an element of disruption, you know, not only on third down packages, but his first and second down pass rush skills are something that we kind of craved last year, and we look forward to getting him on the field. And he's a versatile guy. He can play all along. He can play as a six technique for us. He can be our 4B at times, and obviously our three technique. His role won't be much different than what he did in Denver, to be honest with you. The way he lined up is, you know, he'll line up in very similar situations here. He'll be able to be a little bit more aggressive and off the ball for us. And then our second guy was Chris Ivory that we came to terms with. Wasn't a pressing need for us because we feel like we have a young back, but it was an opportunity for him where we felt he may have been able to come in here. And in this league, you need two guys. And, you know, we saw what happened when TJ left the game last year, our two games against Houston, and then late in the year where we didn't have TJ. And it affected our run game. And Chris is a guy that averages 4.6 yards per carry over the course of his career. He's a violent, aggressive downhill runner, excellent in short yard situations, and really a three-down back that we look forward to having here. And I think he and TJ will you know, they'll work it out where they'll probably split carries. I don't know how it's going to work out, who's going to start what game, but I'm sure it'll be different in every game and every situation. But to have both those guys to be fresh throughout the course of the year and to have depth there was a key add for us, and something that we don't have to really address in the draft if we don't want to. To Sean Gibson, safety. It was important for us coming out of free agency to come out with a free safety, a guy that can play in our middle third and allow us to do the things that we drafted Jonathan Cyprian and James Sample for, to play down in the box and leave those guys closer to the line of scrimmage where they can excel. This will be a situation with Tashawn where he can play in the deep third and go sideline to sideline. He's a guy that's had 14 career interceptions and makes a lot of plays on the ball, was a Pro Bowler off of 2014. And we look forward to him getting back to that level of play coming up this year. And then, of course, the big signing was Brad Nortman. And you guys know how I love my kickers and punters. And Brad is a guy who played in Carolina, had a nice year for them last year, and was an opportunity for us to solidify that position again, something we won't have to address in the draft. And with that being said, you know, I think this has been a good weekend, good couple days for us. And, you know, our roster is not set here. There's still a lot more work to do. You know, we have the fifth pick in the draft, eight draft picks, and, you know, in free agency. And there's still going to be players that, A, become available and that are still available that we're working on. So with that being said, I'll open up for questions. Well, he was one of the guys we target. We were extremely aggressive with it, far out of our comfort zone, to be honest with you. And at the end of the day, we can't make him come here if he doesn't want to come here. And wish him the best. And obviously, it was a situation that, like I said, we were aggressive with it. But you know, you're not going to get them all.
What do you look at your most pressing need now as you move forward?
I think just, you know, filling depth for us. Let's not forget we used a third-round pick in Dante Fowler Jr. last year, who was a Leo. In our scheme, only one Leo can play on the field at a time, you know, especially in base packages. So we need some depth there behind Dante, and he's doing extremely well. I saw a video of him with our trainers out in the field yesterday running, and I was extremely encouraged by what I saw in the video. And he looks good, and he's working hard, and we expect him to be a major factor for us this year.
Was the corner market just not –
Well, at the top, we like some of the players, but just didn't feel like at the top tier. I think two were signed over the weekend, and Sean Smith and Janoris Jenkins. But it just they weren't the fit for us at this time.
Did you get the feeling that Vernon wanted to go to New York, and that's just simply why he went? And was Jacksonville tough to him?
You know, I think after the fact, that, you know, looking back at it, I think, you know, that was part of the reason. I think it underscores our situation here a little bit with being a small market team, how important it is to build through the draft. You know, sometimes it is a little difficult, so when you're dealing against a major market team, but when you can draft guys and you can get them here to Jacksonville and Duval County and they realize what a great place this is, they have a hard time leaving here. And sometimes people just don't know what it's like until they get here. So I think it's critical for us to build through the draft and then to re-sign our own. And you guys know that's been the plan all along. And as we get guys here, I know guys we've drafted, I can envision them being here for a long period of time, but that's where we need to be.
Do you feel Vernon's camp strung you along at all?
No. I think for us to probably to have won that battle, we would have had to really be way over of what maybe the competitor was.
Dave, could you talk about your mindset going into free agency in terms of prices you're willing to pay? Do you isolate it by each individual player, say, this is how much I want to spend on this guy? Or do you say to yourself, it depends on what we spend totally, and each one's going to be affected by whether you get the first guy or not?
Well, we have an overall budget, but I think our Tim Walsh and John Edzik, who do most of our contracts, and our pro department, Chris Poley and Chris Driggers, and Dwan Polk, who just came, they've done a great job of kind of identifying the market for us. We knew it was going to be an aggressive market. We knew with the salary cap going up and on and with the teams having as much salary cap space as they had, that it was going to be a very, very aggressive market. And so we set our price for each player, and in certain times we go over them, you know, and in certain times we fall under them. So I think for us it's an overall budget and then it's specific by player. No, no. Yeah.
2 years ago, you signed Alex Mack to the offer sheet. Did you revisit him seriously this time around? If not, why?
Yeah, we weren't. I think, you know, a little bit of age there, being, you know, 31 years of age. He's still a very, very good player, but we also feel like that we have guys here that, as opposed to 2 years ago, can fill that center position. Like I said, we're not done with the offensive line. There's still some free agents out there. There's a possibility of draft. And but we also have guys with, like, Brandon Linder we can move in there, A.J. Kahn potentially move in there. Also, you know, Luke Bawanko and Tyler Shatley, who we feel really good about.
Excuse me, Mark, follow-up on Linder. Would you want him to know about center before OTAs, or do you want to make that announcement sooner than finding
I don't think we'll necessarily make an announcement. He knows. We've talked to him. He's open to it. So we'll see. We talked to him about it last year, and he was open to it. He's a very versatile guy. He not only could he play center, but he could play, go out to tackle if we ever need him to, too. So, but we feel like he could be an excellent center in the NFL.
You touched on Malik playing a lot of the same roles he played in Denver. Can you be more specific about what you envision for him here? He played a lot of 3-4 in there.
Yeah, he did, but, you know, we envision him getting him in a 3 technique. Over a guard, some one-on-one situations a lot. But first and second down, he can also play that 4B too. You know, if we're playing a team that's, you know, 11 personnel or a heavy passing team, we can put him in there in the 4B, and then he'll generate some first and second down pass rush too there. He can also kick out to a 6 technique in our 4-3 too, and you could see a situation where maybe he's at end and Dante's at the Leo on the other side in a 9 technique.
Unlikely at nose tackle?
Unlikely, yeah. Unless it's a passing situation and we're trying to get him one-on-one on a center.
Said at your end of the year press conference that free safety is almost as hard to find as your franchise quarterback. Mm-hmm. Do you feel Gibson can bring you into that?
Yeah, and it was a situation where it was a little bit of a risk adverse contract that where, you know, because if he returns a play like he did in 2014, the first couple of years will probably be a little bit of a bargain for us, but the back end of the deal is something that's significant for him, where if he returns a play as a Pro Bowl safety that it'll be a great deal for both of us.
All things being equal, would you have preferred somebody like a Weddle, Gibson, or obviously Weddle wanted to go with the Bender, but
yeah, and I don't even know has he signed yet. I don't know if he signed yet. I think we had a target, and you know, Tashaun was at the top of our target list. We haven't addressed Eric. I know he was going to probably wait to visit some teams, and we didn't want to miss out on Tashaun if we had to wait. And also with Eric being 26 years of age, or Tashaun being, you know, 26 years of age, is a good fit for us.
You mentioned Gibson's interception total, but he also has done a lot in terms of generating yardage off those picks. Mm-hmm. How much did that stand out when you broke it
Well, it's great when you have a guy that can pick it off and return it and score points for you, too, and he's done a nice job of that throughout his career. So not a determining factor, but as long as he can turn the ball over, hopefully our offense is at a point where they're going to be able to score a lot of points next year, too.
Dave, because you didn't land Vernon back here, because you didn't land Vernon, are you sitting here today with a lot more money than you expected?
No, we knew it would be a possibility, but well, yeah, probably a lot more, you know, in this year's situation. But we'll be able to spend some of it. And like I said, we didn't have to spend all of it. Vito will be happy that we got to our 89%, and we won't have a problem doing that. But for the most part, yeah, there are still players to spend it on. And like I said, we'll need it in the years to come.
With that, just to follow up, Sarmuk, Fowler, you said, obviously is there for you, but you don't have a lot of numbers.
Yeah.
In that spot. Are you confident there's enough left out there to get middle of the road free agency and in the draft?
Yeah.
Pile up some numbers, you'll be confident.
Yeah, there is. And there's also, you know, there's a lot of things that can happen between now and you know, training camp. There's trades, there's draft. We have 8 draft picks. There's guys in the draft that we like there, not only in the first round, but all the way through, you know, round 7. So we'll have no problem, you know, filling that depth there.
Have you set up an interview with Ayers? I know he's making the rounds.
We've been in contact with his agent. We haven't set up an interview yet, per se.
And what is the signing of Ivory mean, Toby Gerhard?
We'll release Toby today at 4.
There were a lot.
And it was not because of Chris, but just because he wanted to see what the market was going to be.
There were a lot of running backs out there. What separated Ivory?
I'd say his physical, urgent, downhill running style. You know, he's a guy he's aggressive. I know our players, we had probably one of the better games against him this year, but our players have a lot of respect for him and realize, you know, what a physical back he is and to be able to generate and, you know, his ability to elude inside the tackle box and create out of nothing is something that's pretty impressive.
Do you feel like he's a guy that can sort of close the game out for you if you have a lead?
Yeah, I think the combination of TJ and him, they're both big backs. They're both, you know, physical backs. They have a little bit different run style. TJ's a little bit more patient, where Chris is a little bit more urgent downhill, quicker downhill.
You brought up trades before. You know, you obviously still have a lot of cap space. Have you thought about potentially reaching out and shopping the market to see what's available at pass rusher for a trade sample?
Yeah, we have, and I know at this time of year, a lot of it doesn't happen, and so I think some of that happens maybe in training camp or closer to training camp or after the draft when teams kind of set their rosters.
Why was it important to solidify punter right away?
Well, it's a situation we didn't want to have to use a pick on in the draft, and you know, we offered a deal to Brian. They weren't willing to negotiate with us. And Brad's people reached out and said, if you're going to move on, we felt like we owed it to Brian to give him, you know, the first opportunity to come back here. And, and then we went to the next best guy out there.
What was attractive to Norv about? Is it hang time inside the 20
placement? Yeah, both of those and his consistency. You know, he's probably fewer miss hits than most guys, but just a really consistent guy.
What was the benefit of getting Mercedes back?
Well, our run game, his ability to block, veteran leadership, and then he's still, as you guys have seen, it's been productive in the passing game.
And then you touched on it before with Cyprian and stuff, but adding Gibson, how much does that change the dynamic back there, and was that a need that you guys have just been desperate for, obviously?
Well, it has been, and something that we've gone back and looked, and especially, you know, we've had guys cut up our whole tape and our coaching staff, and when we put Cyprian close to the line of scrimmage in the box, he is extremely, extremely effective and a very good football player, something that we drafted him for. And because we haven't had that counterpart that we can always leave in the deep third, is something that, you know, Cyp was put in position, you know, at times that weren't his strong suits. So to be able to do that where we can keep him down in the box, not to say he's going to be down there 100% of the time, but more the majority of the time, and you have a guy that can control traffic back there in the middle third is going to put both those guys in position to succeed.
Was it almost more important to make sure you found the free safety as opposed to the pass rusher? Because of all the troubles you had?
Well, we've had a lot of talk and a lot of different philosophies in the NFL, and some are, you know, if you have the back end, you start with the back end first and then you get your pass rushers. You know, majority of people believe you get your pass rushers first and then you take care of the back end. I kind of believe you need both, and the really good teams have both, so that's what we're trying to get to.
One more real quick. Zane Beadle's release, what was the thinking on that?
Well, two young guys we really like, plus two guys at center that could potentially be starter centers. You know, Brandon Linder, A.J. Kahn have played excellent football for two young players, and they were going to be probably starters one way or another, and so that freed up some cap space for us to go elsewhere.
Official with Ryan and Gene. Is the door still open on Wisniewski?
Yeah, it is.
And then also Harbor.
We've been in contact with his agent.
Dave, could you just talk a little bit about in signing Malik? Talk about the flexibility that it gives you on that interior defensive line. Sometimes playing Marks and him together, sometimes separate.
Yeah, for sure. You know, Marks him together, a guy like Ryan Davis that brings some inside pass rush, also opens up things. When you get pressure inside like that, you know, guy like Dante Fowler coming out around the edge, flushing guys out of the pocket, be able to clean up sacks from that aspect. But we now play in a division that has, three really good quarterbacks, and the best way to get those guys is, up the middle, and Malik is going to provide that not only from a sack standpoint, but from a disruption standpoint. And, you can line him up anywhere. And being 6'5 plus, he's got a lot long wingspan. He's going to knock down passes at the line of scrimmage, and is only going to help him make everybody around him better.